Hi, this is Mike Pettigrew, and welcome to CD number 3. I have a question for you. What do you think might be the easy way to all achievement? The easy way to all achievement? Well, you see, there really is an easy way to achieve anything, and also a very hard way. However, the easy way to all achievement may not be at all what you think. So let me give you an example. A long time ago, I always liked to do everything the easy way. I hated making big efforts and wanted everything just to happen simply and easily and effortlessly. And this was probably because I had quite low self-confidence when I was in my teens and early 20s. I had very little self-belief, and I really didn't think that I was much good at achieving anything. Therefore, it was a lot easier and less frustrating and less disillusioning if I didn't make such great efforts at all. It was far easier just to listen to that voice in my head that said, don't bother, don't even try, it'll be too hard and you won't succeed anyway. And I believe that we all have this voice in our heads. And for many of us, the voice is very loud. So we listen to it and we give in to it. And as a result, we may not achieve anything remarkable during our lifetime. What I'm really saying here is that I was internally quite lazy. Even though I had all sorts of interests and a great thirst for knowledge, I just hated working hard to overcome bad habits or attempt to create something very substantial. And I remember in my late teens studying the powers of the mind and esoteric wisdom. And I found it fascinating and very exciting. That was until I came to the point where I discovered that in order to draw forth real power out of my life, it would mean that I would have to polish my inner life and make serious efforts to overcome certain aspects of myself. So really, as a result, I didn't really bother. And I instead just became an intellectual student rather than a practical one. And a few years later, in my early 20s, I started practicing Nichiren Buddhism. Now, although this program is not about Buddhist philosophy, I can say with certainty that my practice of Buddhism since 1984 has had massive effects on my life. And I'm very deeply grateful for this. And when I started practicing Buddhism, I heard the same depressing truth again, that in order to become deeply happy and fulfilled, I would need to work on transforming and polishing my inner life. And this sounded like a whole lot of hard work, and I just wanted to stop before I even began. However, having had very significant benefits from my Buddhist practice from the very beginning, I realized that if I started making big efforts at transforming and overcoming such things as my shyness, my fear, low self-esteem, and other aspects of my nature, it could be extremely worthwhile, and I assure you it was. Now, developing self-confidence and becoming empowered and becoming a very positive thinker has been an incredible experience. This inner transformation has been completely responsible for my achieving many successes throughout my adult life. And in a nutshell, I really found that the easy way to achieve anything is to actually commit to it and do it 100% and not procrastinate and to make plenty of effort. So that's the easy way to achieve anything, to throw ourselves into activity and just do it. Now, compare this to constantly putting off until tomorrow what we should do today. When we do this, all we feel is disempowered, disillusioned and frustrated with ourselves. So truly, the easy way to anything simply boils down to consistent efforts and applying ourselves 100% to achieving our goals. And you know what? It's actually far, far easier than at first it may appear. It's also very enjoyable and exhilarating. and it's extremely empowering. And I'm actually very scientifically minded, and I always look for validation that whatever I am doing is actually effective and working just as I have been told it would. I think it's actually very important to demand proof that what you're actually doing will actually work, and that it's not just blind faith, that we're just following what somebody has said. We need to test what we are doing. What I really mean is your time and my time is extremely precious, and there is absolutely no point at all in wasting time doing something unless it brings tangible, measurable, worthwhile results. And I really believe that it's important to be skeptical, but not cynical. A cynic really is a person who has had so many hard knocks in life that they have closed down and no longer believe anything. A cynic is a person that has had so many disappointments that they protect themselves by not believing anything. And they do this to avoid more painful disappointment. However, I know you are definitely not a cynic, because if you were, you would not be listening to this program at all. The fact that you are listening shows that you believe that you can change your thought patterns and that you have the ability to create a wonderful life for yourself. So, in effect, you're halfway there. You've already succeeded. And as I just mentioned, it's very important to be skeptical and to demand proof that what you are doing will actually bring concrete and significant results. Therefore, I would like to ask you to do this course properly. You owe it to yourself to get great results, and you can get great results using the techniques that I'm going to share with you. And I went from the point of extreme loss and deep fear to changing every part of my life using these techniques. And if I can do it, you definitely can too. And you can create a wonderfully happy and fulfilling life as a result. So as you work your way through this program, I would like to ask you to please, please make efforts throughout the entire course, consistent daily efforts, because when you do this, you will be virtually guaranteed success. On the other hand, if you decide not to make consistent daily efforts, then there's really only one thing that may await you: a life of frustration, limitation, disappointment, disillusionment, and disempowerment. All you will experience is more of the same. Now, as I mentioned in the previous CD, all truly successful people have developed the quality of never giving in to difficulties. They always move forwards to try a new way, and they don't give up at the first, second, or even the third hurdle. And if you take the time to study highly successful people, in a huge number of cases, they've experienced bankruptcy and poverty and all sorts of other struggles in their past. Or in Thomas Edison's words, they have simply discovered the ways that do not work. Now, had they stopped at their lowest point, or at the point of failure, then they would have achieved nothing remarkable whatsoever. And in my own life, when after many, many successes in business, having lost everything, every single cent in the world, and not able to feed my wife and our baby boy who had just been born, had I stopped at that point, I can't even envisage how awful life would have turned out. But I refused to give up. I constantly moved forward every day, even though things were absolutely abysmally bad, constantly moving forwards, constantly learning and putting into practice what I was learning. Everything changed. It wasn't instant, but the synchronicities, the coincidences started very quickly. Very, very quickly, after I started making very specific actions, and we'll go into that in great depth from the next CD onwards. Now, in the meantime, I'd like to talk a little bit about failure, because You know, there is no such thing. There is actually no such thing as failure. Failure simply does not exist. All failure is it simply is an interpretation of past situations that did not go the way we had hoped for or planned for. What we call failure is nothing more than our incorrect interpretation of past events. We can interpret any problems that we've had in the past as either failures or events from which we have learnt and grown as a result. Now, I have had many very significant successes throughout my adult life, but almost all of them have had their roots in my failing miserably in the past in all sorts of ways. So, by not succeeding the first time, or even the second, or even the third time, or even the fourth time, it's actually the only way we can truly learn anything fully. We can't really say that we've learned something fully unless we've gone through great difficulty to achieve it. Okay? So, in the world, we often see what appears to be instant success, where people have become successful literally overnight. But what we do not see is all the years of trial and failure that that person has had to go through to achieve their success. We may think that it was instant, but it's not. We can honestly achieve anything we wish. We can honestly achieve anything we wish to achieve during our lifetime, providing that we take the right actions and that we make efforts that are consistent in everything that we do. By simply starting and stopping and starting and stopping, that only ends up in misery. So, for at least the next 30 days, I'd like you to study this program every single day. And when we do anything consistently every single day, what happens is that we start to reprogram the way we think and the way we behave. It's very difficult to overcome bad habits and unproductive ways of thinking just through sheer willpower alone, but it's a lot easier to introduce a new habit that counteracts the old bad habit. So, by studying this course each and every day for at least the next 30 days, you will begin to reprogram how you think and how you feel. And when you do this reprogramming each and every day, it starts to powerfully affect your subconscious. And things can really start to change for the better, and often quite quickly. So what you will most likely discover is a gradual and growing sense of empowerment. Slowly but surely, your confidence can increase and you should start to see very tangible results in your life. So everything, as I say, everything boils down to the efforts that you make and your consistency in doing so. And this program does not just consist of new perspectives and ways of viewing life, not at all. It's certainly not all just theory. Rather, it's a very practical course, which includes very specific daily exercises that you really need to do without fail. And these exercises are specially designed to grow certain qualities within you so that you can gradually start to see very big changes in your life, simply because they can change how you think and how you feel. It's when you start to think differently and feel differently that things in your environment really start to change quickly. And a little later on, we will look at the process by which our mind affects our environment. Now, on the other hand, if we just go on thinking the same thoughts and feeling the same negative emotions day in and day out, then all we will experience is more of the same. A great teacher once said that the difference between our mind of appreciation and our mind of complaint at first may appear to be quite subtle, but just like particles of dust accumulate to form mountains, whichever mind we allow to dominate our lives, Over the course of time, the difference in how our life will turn out can be very substantial. The question is, do we want to create a mountain of resentment and complaint, or a mountain of gratitude and appreciation? Because whichever thoughts and emotions we allow to dominate will have a direct impact on what we will experience in the future. And as I say, we'll go into this in a lot more detail later on, but for now, please make the definite decision right here and right now to do the daily exercise that you will learn in this program, and to do them every single day without fail. Can you do this? I certainly hope so, because if you do, then the benefits can be enormous. When you do these regular daily exercises, you may be amazed by your results. And actually, I invite you to share your experiences on my website at mikepettigrew.com. That's mikepettigrew.com. And by sharing your own triumphs and breakthroughs through using this program, then many other people can also benefit from your experiences. And I'd actually like to give you an example of how small and subtle changes, when done consistently, can have dramatic effects. And a few years ago, I was on holidays in France with my wife and our eldest child, and also my wife's parents. And we were staying in the Dordogne region of France. It's the land, literally, of chateaus and fairy tale castles, an absolutely magical part of France. And everything was going great. We were having a wonderful holiday. And then suddenly I came down with the flu. And it was a really bad dose of the flu. And most likely I got sick because I'd been working so extremely hard for a very long time. I'd actually been working 16-hour days in order to overcome the dire financial situation we'd found ourselves in. And after many years of success in business through making the wrong decisions and trusting the wrong people, as I mentioned earlier, we lost every cent in the world. And we went from millionaires to bankrupt in a very short period of time, an incredibly frightening experience. So this was why I was working such incredibly long hours over a very long period of time. I was really pushing myself extremely hard. So it was no wonder that I would get sick while on holidays. And this holiday was really the first time in ages where I could really get away from everything and relax. And I think that this sometimes happens to most of us when we've been working extremely hard for a long time. Then when we stop and start to relax, everything literally falls apart. And that's exactly what happened to me and my health. Anyway, as I say, I had a really bad dose of the flu, feeling absolutely miserable. And I ended up at the doctor. And even though my wife and I don't speak much French, we managed to communicate with the doctor quite well, and he put me on a course of antibiotics. But he was a bit concerned because he discovered my blood pressure was very high. And he said, please, the moment you get back to Ireland, go see your family doctor and get this sorted out, because you do not want to have high blood pressure long term. The results can be devastating on your health. So as soon as we got back home to Ireland, I went to our family doctor and she put me on a low dose of blood pressure medication, a type that I could come off at any time as soon as my blood pressure returned to normal. Unfortunately, I do a huge amount of work sitting down, and sitting in front of a computer all day, every day, and not taking much exercise is definitely not great for the body. So I had to stay on my blood pressure medication for a few years. And it was only when I reached the point where even on medication, my blood pressure started climbing even higher and quite high, that I really started to take this far more seriously. And it really culminated in me going to, or I started to notice how high my blood pressure had gone, was after coming home from a training seminar in London. And it was an amazing training seminar with Brendan Bouchard, an amazing, amazing human being. And each day the sessions went on for at least 12 hours. So I got very little sleep and I was very tired by the time I returned home. I was exhausted. It just shows what condition my body was in, because normally I should have been able to keep up with the pace. But as I say, I was really tired by the time I came home, but at the same time invigorated. And as soon as I got home, that's when I noticed my blood pressure was very high again, even though I was on medication for it. And for several weeks in a row, it didn't come down. So this got me quite concerned. So I went to the doctor and she told me that, well, it was time to increase the dose on the blood pressure medication, as it clearly wasn't enough. And it was only a very small dose of a diuretic that I was taking, but I really didn't want to increase the medication anymore. My plan was to come off it completely. But the problem was I wasn't taking exercise. Now, interestingly, while I was at this seminar in London, I had already made a commitment to myself that I would start taking exercise a lot more frequently and really start to look after my health a lot better. It's almost like my life knew that I had to make a significant change, and it was showing me that I needed to take more exercise. And this was even before I discovered my blood pressure had risen. It was at this seminar where I made this very clear decision. So when I went to the doctor, I had no possibility of wriggling out on the decision I had made. I had to do it. So at the doctor, when the doctor told me it was time to increase my medication, I'd already made a complete commitment to taking more exercise and eating better than ever before. Now, this is the amazing thing. I only made 3 very small adjustments to my lifestyle. I started doing very simple, very gentle cardiovascular exercises each morning before my breakfast. Okay, that was the first thing I did. I also started juicing twice a week, making enough fruit smoothie to last a few days. So in effect, I just did 3 very small things. I started doing gentle exercises once a day. I gave up coffee and toast, which I used to have for breakfast each morning. And instead, I started drinking a fruit smoothie each morning for my breakfast. Now, these 3 very small changes in my lifestyle have had dramatic effects, effects that are way beyond what I could have possibly expected. Almost immediately, my blood pressure came down very significantly and well within the normal range. I didn't have to increase my medication at all. Now, normally, I feel pretty energized and empowered, but as a result of this small amount of exercise and slight improvement in my diet, my energy levels have increased significantly. And I feel more like a 20-year-old now than a 51-year-old. But that's not all. This was the most surprising benefit of all, of making these very slight, these tiny adjustments in lifestyle. For the last 40 years, since I was 12 years old, I've suffered from chronic congestion. Now, you definitely wouldn't want to hear me first thing in the morning because it sounds awful. Yeah, I'm constantly trying to clear my throat, and the sound effects, as I say, are pretty horrible. But if I don't clear my throat, I literally drown in my own congestion. And I've no option but to make these horrible throat clearing sounds every morning. But this congestion, this chronic congestion that I've had for 40 years now, has meant that each winter, I'm very prone to getting nasty sinus problems. And sinusitis can be very painful in my cheeks and my teeth, because the sinuses are above your canine teeth. And the pain in my teeth sometimes in the winter can be absolutely horrible. And I hate taking painkillers, but often I've no option but to resort to taking painkillers when this happens. And this, in latter years, in the last 5-10 years, it's getting more frequent. I'm almost expecting to get really bad sinus pains. Now, the interesting thing is that over the past 40 years, I have gone to all sorts of medical practitioners, doctors, homeopaths, kinesiologists, herbalists, Chinese medical consultants, acupuncturists, you name it. I've been to them. And all these forms of medical treatment are fantastic. And I've certainly seen the benefits of each one of these types of therapy and several others, but not with my congestion. No matter who I went to, I just could not overcome it. And none of these people, although very, very skilled, have been able to help me relieve this congestion at all. And it was something that has been so chronic for 40 years, and I've just really learned to live with it. And it seems to be actually a family ailment, as my brother, who is 4 years older than me, also suffers from the same condition. But for him, it's only really got bad in the last few years. In earlier life, he didn't suffer from it to nearly the same extent. But as I say, one of the first things that I noticed after doing these gentle exercises and drinking this smoothie each morning was that after about 3 days, my blood pressure came down, but my congestion started to clear up. And after a week, it had completely gone. Now, bear in mind, this is a chronic condition that I've experienced for 40 years, cured totally by a tiny bit of exercise and making a very small change in my diet. And as I mentioned a moment ago, doctors, homeopaths, kinesiologists, herbalists, Chinese medical practitioners and acupuncturists had no effect on this condition. But just making these tiny changes myself have had truly incredible benefits on many areas of my life. I have more energy, low blood pressure, and an end to a 40-year chronic congestion problem. So please understand that making slight adjustments to your thoughts and your emotions can have very dramatic effects on all areas of your life, particularly when you're doing the exercises you will learn in this program. And these exercises will help you to reprogram your subconscious mind so that change can literally become automatic. Now, I'd like to talk a little about keeping yourself accountable, because this is very important. As I mentioned earlier, in my teens and my early 20s, I was quite lazy internally and always wanted to find the easy way. And I would do anything to avoid making big goals and determinations for myself, as they always entailed what I thought would be huge efforts and that I would be incapable of carrying through with them anyway. But it's so important to learn how to overcome our negative voice, the voice that prevents us from moving forwards in our lives, the voice that keeps us disempowered and unfulfilled. Now, we go into this in a lot more detail later on, but I want to ask you to at least try something from the very start. I want to ask you to keep yourself accountable, to keep yourself accountable, to not allow yourself to wriggle out of doing the very things that you know will help transform your life. Now, self-discipline really starts by you making a decision to take consistent action. And it's not nearly as difficult as you may think. All you have to do is decide to keep yourself on track and to keep a record of your progress. I'd also like you to reward yourself for your consistency, because it's so important to reward ourselves when we have success in anything that we do. This is very important for developing self-appreciation, because so many people dislike themselves and blame themselves for all sorts of things. And learning to firstly accept ourselves for who we are, and then later going on to developing appreciation for ourselves, is really, really important in this process of achieving a wonderful and happy lives for ourselves. Now, slowly and gradually we can develop great love and appreciation for ourselves. And the effects of appreciating and celebrating our lives is that we then have far more to give to others. So long as we dislike certain aspects about ourselves, we're actually prevented from becoming all that we are capable of becoming. And disliking something about ourselves and wanting to get rid of it is, it's really a bit like wanting to cut our own arm off. It's only when we learn to accept those aspects of our personality that cause us and others to suffer that we can actually gain the power to overcome and transform those aspects. So long as we hate some part of ourselves, we're actually prevented from making any progress at all in changing that aspect. Therefore, it is so important to reprogram our thoughts and our feelings about ourselves. This is fundamental to becoming truly happy and fulfilled. Now, I do realize that for many, this may seem impossible, but it really is easier than you may imagine. Learning to reward ourselves, even for our minor successes, like staying consistent with this program, is so important. Over time, by rewarding ourselves for our consistency and our minor breakthroughs, we can start to forgive ourselves. We can start to accept ourselves and even go on to love ourselves. And when this happens, we start to feel real empowerment. And when we become empowered, truly anything becomes possible for us. Now, the very first exercise that we're going to do in this program is extremely important, as almost everything else hinges on it. So please do this. Please do all the exercises that you will learn, but make sure the moment you finish listening to this CD to start doing this very first exercise. The very first exercise is to write down a list of the very specific things you would like to achieve by the end of this year. Now, anywhere between 5 and 10 things will be fine. Although if you want to add more to your list, that's absolutely fine. And by the way, don't worry about writing all this down right now, as I will go over this again at the very end of this CD. So for now, you can just listen and get an overall understanding of why we're doing this. So once you have written down your list of the 5 to 10 things you would like to achieve in the next year, I would like you to add a second list of all your long-term goals, those things that you would just love to achieve in the next 5 years. And anywhere between 1 and 5 goals is perfect for this list. Now, finally, I'd like you to create a list of the things you would like to achieve in the next 3 months. With this list, you need to be a bit more realistic, okay? The goals on this 3-month list need to be achievable, although not necessarily easy to achieve, okay? There's no point in writing down things that you're going to just achieve anyway, and you know you can. So write down things that stretch your life a bit, okay? Goals that would show you clearly when you achieve them that the principles in this program are valid and that they have worked for you, okay? So goals that are a little bit more difficult to achieve than you would normally set for yourself, okay? Now, this will give you a lot of confidence to go on to achieve far bigger things. It's necessary to take baby steps, to get validation that the process works, and then go on to make even bigger goals, having developed the confidence that the process works, okay? So please don't set a crazy, unrealistic short-term goal at the outset, like becoming a rock star within the next 3 months. That would be totally unrealistic, unless, of course, you've already great confidence in being able to achieve it, and unless you already have great talent as a musician, okay? So slowly and surely building great confidence and power is what always works best, okay? So this is what this 3-month list is about. So why exactly do we do this exercise? Why is goal setting so important? And what actually happens deep in our mind when we do this? Well, this works on several levels. When we set a goal, it's a bit like our lives are like a ship on the ocean, a ship that is going in circles, and the seas are calm, and there's not much change, and everything's quite tranquil. When we set a very concrete, clear goal and put great determination into achieving it, it's a bit like facing that ship straight into the waves, okay? Straight into the waves. And the very first thing we notice is we're buffeted by those waves. Those waves are literally, when we set a big goal for ourselves, we literally invoke from the environment experiences and challenges that are the very things that are stopping us from achieving our goal. So those are, it's a bit like the ship facing into the waves. We feel buffeted by the waves. So when we set a very concrete and big goal for ourselves, we invoke from our environment, as I say, experiences that we need to go through in order to achieve our goals. The only thing that is separating us right here and right now from attaining our heart's desire and our goals is a certain level of inner transformation. We can achieve anything when we change inside. And this is what happens when we set big goals for ourselves. We invite into our lives experiences that stretch our lives. We literally invoke from our environment circumstances that challenge us in certain ways. Now, we don't need to be fearful of this. We do not need to be fearful of this because these challenges are absolutely essential for our growth and long-term happiness. But be aware that when we set big concrete goals for ourselves, we will encounter challenges and difficulties. And I'll give you an example. Way back around about 1992, it was several years into my first real business. I say real business because I started my first business when I was, I think it was 15 or 16, selling secondhand ex-rental colour TVs at a time when not many people had colour TVs. So that was my first business, but I don't really call that a real business. It gave me very nice pocket money during my teenage years. But about when I started my first business, which was Office Plants, about 4 years after I started the business, I was still experiencing all sorts of awful cash flow problems. 1 month there would be lots of money, next month there would be nothing. It was feast or famine. And I was getting sick of this. And I made a huge determination. I made a vow, a commitment to transforming this whole situation. And almost immediately, my cash flow problems got far worse. Suddenly, I discovered I owed my suppliers a lot more than I thought I did. And the amount of money that was coming in the next month was a lot less than I expected. And it scared the hell out of me. And I was even preparing internally to go on social welfare, to live off the government as a handout, because I had no way of turning the situation around, or so it appeared. But then I got angry with myself. I said, no, I am not going to waste the last 4 or 5 years and just curl over, roll over and die. No way. So I committed to changing and transforming the situation. And I promised myself that I would try everything possible so that even if I had to go on social welfare and fold up the business, at least I had tried everything possible to transform the situation and that I would have no regrets. Now, the very first thing that I had to do, I realized through a series of other related events that this was all about my own self-worth. And as I mentioned earlier, I had to double my prices to my clients, and they all accepted. And within a very short period of time, I was making really good money, far more than I'd ever made before and far more than I thought was possible. So this is the result of making a very strong determination. What can immediately happen is the very things that are stopping you from achieving that goal are invoked from the environment. And sometimes they can be challenging. But as I say, please do not be fearful. This is very natural and this has to happen. But in the beginning, it's important to make smaller goals. This is why I'm suggesting to make short-term, medium-term and long-term goals. And your short-term goals for the next 3 months should be bigger than you would normally make, okay? But also things that are achievable. Because the first step here is to gain confidence that this process works, to gain more empowerment and more understanding that you actually can use this process to achieve incredible things. Now, as well as affecting our environment and invoking a response from our environment, when we make a big determination and read these determinations aloud every day, then what happens is it affects our subconscious mind. It affects our subconscious mind, and our subconscious beliefs about things have huge effects on what happens to us. If we believe we are worthy of attaining some goal, but subconsciously we doubt our ability to achieve it, our subconscious belief will always, always win out. So this is why it's so important to reprogram our subconscious mind, because we all carry within our subconscious all sorts of beliefs about life and ourselves. Restrictive beliefs, beliefs that we're not worthy, beliefs that we couldn't achieve something, beliefs that hold us back in so many different ways. And this is why often we see the same patterns occurring again and again and again throughout our lives. So this is why it's so important to reprogram our subconscious mind. But the great thing is our subconscious is very programmable. It's very easy to influence it when you know how. And we'll go into that in more detail later. But for now, let's just say that by reading aloud our determinations morning and evening, our short-term, medium-term and long-term determinations and goals, by reading them aloud morning, afternoon and evening, we actually start to influence our subconscious mind. And as a result, we become a lot closer to achieving our goals. And for me, I know this process works because when I started my first real business back in 1987, I made the big determination to, in 10 years' time, work full-time for society without having to worry about being paid, having enough money, having been successful enough in business to be able to devote all my time to working for society. And amazingly, through repeating that determination, through repeating, looking at that goal and reading it aloud morning and evening, and there's a specific way in which we need to frame our affirmation, that, because these are known as affirmations. There is a specific way of framing our affirmations in order for them to be very powerful. And by doing these affirmations every day, 10 years later, I was spending most of my time doing voluntary work. Not full time, but I only had to work a day and a half a week, which I enjoyed immensely. And the other time, the other 3.5 days, I did voluntary work and made a big difference in many people's lives. And this all happened. This all came about simply because of the affirmations I was making morning, afternoon and evening. So it's a very potent process. And later on, we'll talk more about affirmations and exactly how you should frame them. But for now, I'd like you to create these three lists. So the very first list that I'd like you to make is a list of all the things you would truly love to achieve within 1 year of now. Okay? And between 5 and 10 things, between 5 and 10 goals will be absolutely fine. Although if you want to add more to your list, then that's absolutely fine. So once you have written down your list of the 5 to 10 things that you would like to achieve in the next year, I'd like you to create a second list of all your long-term goals, those things that you would love to achieve in the next 5 years. So again, anywhere between 1 and 5 goals is just perfect for this list. And when you've completed that list, I'd like you to make a third list. And this list is of all the things that you would love to achieve in the next 3 months. And between 1 and 5 goals will be perfect for this. So this is all the things you'd love to achieve in the next 3 months. Now, it's important that you keep your list of goals achievable. As I say, things that stretch you a bit, but things that are possible. Things that are possible, because it's important that you gain confidence here. You don't want to create a crazy goal that you just know is almost impossible, because you become disillusioned with this process and you believe that it won't work. So it's important that you get successes right from the start. So before we move on to CD number 4, let's look at organized planning. Organized planning. You see, for each of your goals, it's also very important to write down a step-by-step action plan that you will put into practice in order to reach your goals. Now, adequate planning is a really important part of achieving your goals, and you won't be able to achieve your goals nearly as quickly if you don't make adequate plans. So please, gradually, over the next few weeks, look at each one of your goals and figure out the exact steps you will need to take in order to bring them to fruition. For example, if you're planning to start a new career as a writer, then there may be several specific things you may need to include as part of your plan. In order to become an accomplished writer, you may need to study how other writers became successful. You might also like to do a course on creative writing so that you can learn the very best ways to write that will help you to influence your readers' emotions. You might also like to commit to researching the writing style of famous authors who write similar books to the type you're planning to write by reading their books. And you might like to include in your plan that you should learn more about the publishing industry in general, so that you know exactly what publishers want and so that you know exactly how to communicate with publishers most effectively. Now, your plan might include committing yourself to writing for 1 hour each day at a specific time and in such a way where you are assured that you won't be interrupted. So you see, achieving any sort of worthwhile and meaningful goal entails plenty of careful planning. And when you do this planning and pay attention to the small details, you can be assured of much greater successes. And your planning needs to include all the steps that will lead to your success in whatever you're trying to set out to achieve. Now, I do realize that you may not yet know what all those steps need to be, and that's absolutely fine. But even making an approximate list of steps can still work wonders, and later on, as your plans progress, you can fill in the blanks by adding any new steps that you discover you need to add. On the other hand, if you ignore this really important step in achieving your goals, then your results may not be so great. And as the saying goes, failing to plan is planning to fail. Failing to plan is planning to fail. So over the next few weeks, please do take the time to look at each one of your goals and create an action plan for each one of them. And I assure you that you will be very glad that you did. At this point, I'd like to tell you another story. Some years ago, there was a young man who lived in Guatemala in Central America, and he was a tour guide. And he had a very happy lifestyle. He would spend many hours each day swinging in his hammock, reading books on archaeology, which was his life's passion. And he used to spend a lot of time at the Mayan temples and pyramids in Guatemala. And people used to hire his services, and he would act as their tour guide. And he was very passionate about the past and the Mayan civilization. and his enthusiasm really affected the people who used his services. Now, he wasn't a rich man, but he had more than he needed for day-to-day survival. And as I say, he had a very enjoyable lifestyle, doing exactly what he wanted to do each day, doing his life's passion. So he was very fulfilled. Now, one day, an international celebrity made use of his services, and this young man didn't know who this celebrity was, but they got on really well together. And the celebrity was deeply impressed and inspired by the passion that this young man had for the past and archaeology. In fact, this young man's enthusiasm ignited in this celebrity a much deeper interest in the past and in archaeology and in finding out more about the ancient Mayan civilization. So when it was time for lunch, this celebrity asked this young man if he would join him for lunch, and the two of them had lunch together because this celebrity really wanted to say thank you for the wonderful tour that this young man had given him. And he was very, very grateful to this young man, and he wanted to give him something substantial as a token of his gratitude. So he thought long and hard about this, and he felt that what might benefit this young man was to share with him his own experiences of success. Now, he explained to the young man, since he was so passionate about archaeology and he was so knowledgeable and was so enthusiastic, it would be very easy for him to train someone else to act as a tour guide. And before long, if he worked hard at this, after even a couple of years, he may have as many as 10 or 20 tour guides working for him. So he would effectively start his own tour guide company. And the young man looked at him a bit bewildered and said, Why would I want to do that? And the celebrity said, well, if you, as I say, you'll need to work quite hard in the beginning, but it can be really worthwhile because before long, you can be just resting in your hammock, reading your books, and just living a wonderful, happy life where you don't need to worry about money and you're doing everything that you ever desired. And at this point, the young man was grinning widely, and I'm sure you understand why. Because this young man already had everything that he wanted in order to be happy. He was truly fulfilled right the way he was. So this is a rather important story because it shows us that true success is living our lives in the way we wish, doing the things that we wish that make us truly happy, where we feel vibrant and energized most of the time. And it's true to say that there are many, many, many people who go after success and make very clear goals and work extremely hard to achieve those goals, only to find when they have achieved them that there is still a yearning for more, an insatiable yearning that continues no matter how many successes the person has achieved. And this is really sad. Now, I'm not saying that we should not be striving for material possessions and improving our situation, not at all. That's really important. It's really important that we continually stretch our lives, learn new things, and move towards goals. That's really important for overall happiness anyway. But what I am saying is, if you are focused on achieving specific things, specific material things, but not paying attention to all areas of your life, you may be dissatisfied once you achieve your goals. The important things are, as I say, a sense of fulfillment, being happy no matter what's happening, knowing that you can overcome difficulties whenever they arise, and really growing your life, becoming a better person, a person who makes a difference in their environment. This is true success. This is true success. And later on in the program, we'll look at all the components, all the major components that go to creating a happy life of success and fulfillment. So that's it for this CD, and I look forward to speaking with you in the next one. Thanks so much.